Good morning and welcome to church. We're excited, as always, to have you here. And speaking of excitement, there's really nothing quite as exciting as a kid who learns something new for the first time. And our kids are still young, and so they're still at that stage in their lives where they can come literally running off the school bus in the afternoon up the driveway to exuberantly tell you what it is they had learned in school that particular day. And there's this one day, I happened to be home in the afternoon, and my oldest daughter, who is in third grade, comes running up the driveway to share with me a phrase that she had learned in school that day. It was in social studies, which she particularly likes. And the phrase was e pluribus unum. E pluribus unum. And so she said, "Daddy, I learned this really cool phrase, and it's on our money." I said, "Yes, yes, it is." I don't know if you've ever tried to find e pluribus unum on our money, but it is indeed there. But you kind of have to get out your magnifying glass a little bit, because it is a phrase that is on the Great Seal of the United States. And what it literally means is out of many, one. Right? So what it means is it's a reminder to us that in these United States of America, even though we are a country that is made up of many individual states, we are collectively one. And that's kind of where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves as a people, as a church universal, that even though we're different, we are still one in Christ Jesus. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And what I'm going to be talking about today kind of thematically comes from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few verses of this chapter to you today, but I'll be referencing other parts of it as we go along. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. "Just as a body, though, one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many." The word of the Lord. So that phrase, e pluribus unum, was originally chosen in 1776 by a committee of the Continental Congress consisting of some pretty big names, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson. But it actually wasn't adopted until 6 years later in 1782. Why did it take 6 years for them to embrace this idea of you know, out of many, one, as our official motto of the United States? Well, it's because probably there's a lot behind that. And the leaders of that time realized there's a lot behind that statement, out of many, one. And I think if we were to travel back in time to the time that St. Paul was writing this important letter to the church at Corinth, he probably was struggling with similar kinds of themes like that too, as he's trying to describe the church as the body of Christ. He chooses to use the physical body as the metaphor for the church, an analogy to explain how the church is to be and how the church is to function within the kingdom. So today, as we go through this idea of out of many, one, our oneness in Christ Jesus, our oneness with God, and our oneness with each other in the church, there are three points that I kind of want to draw upon as we think about this concept today. The first one is that we need each other. Now, in verse 21 of this chapter, Paul says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" And he says in verse 15, If the foot would cease to be a part of the body, it couldn't say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, and so I'm out of here, right? But here's the bottom line. In the body of Christ, we need each other, not only for the health of the body as a whole, but to enable each individual member to operate at full potential. It's true in the human body. It's true in the church, the body of Christ. We need each other, and we belong to each other. Now, one of the points that Paul's trying to make here is that people can't legitimately say, if they have been baptized into the church, into the body of Christ, that nobody can legitimately say, I'm useless. I have nothing to offer. It's not legitimate for anybody to say that, no matter how you might feel. You were created by your Creator to come into the world and be grafted into the body of Christ with a unique purpose. And so if somebody can't say, I'm useless, I have nothing to offer in the body of Christ, well, likewise, nobody can approach it with a feeling of superiority either. Nobody in the body of Christ can come at it from the perspective of, I am more important than you are. The preacher is no more important than the person who holds the door open on Sunday morning or the person who stands in the parking lot. That's the point. Paul's trying to remind us that being one in the body means that literally we are one, and being one, it means we are equal. We're all equal before Christ, and we're all equal in our importance in the body of Christ. Every member of the body matters. Every part of the body has an important contribution to make, even sometimes when that contribution by the world might seem to be less honored. Now, some people out there in the world believe that they don't need to be a part of the church. Some of you today are watching online or you're watching by television, and maybe you're doing that because at some point you've been to a church, you've been a part of a church, and you've been hurt by the church. And you said, you know what, I don't need this anymore. I don't need the frustration that comes with being part of church. I don't need all the stuff. I'm just going to do my thing, and I can worship God by myself. And while we really appreciate you watching, and we really appreciate your participation virtually, hear me very clearly, it is no substitute for being a part of the body and the church. Well, you might say, well, I am a part of it. And that's true, you are a part of it, but to be actively a part of it. The church needs your unique contribution to the body of Christ. Now, it's true that the church isn't perfect. It's true that the church it's got its flaws, it's got its points that can frustrate all of us, but it's the greatest gift that God has given us for the purpose of changing the world. Listen to that. The church is the greatest gift God has ever given to us for the purpose of changing the world. We belong to each other. We belong to the body of Christ. We need each other. Second point I want to make this morning is that while we all belong, we are all different from each other. Now, even though this is obvious, if you've ever gone people watching, you know, maybe you've sat at the mall or you've sat at the beach on vacation or something like that, and you've watched the diversity of people walk by you, it is obvious that we are all different. We come in all shapes and we come in all sorts of sizes. We come in all sorts of perspectives in the way that we see the world. We are all different. But there's never been a member of Christ's body just exactly like you. I had a friend one time, he was an Episcopal priest, and one of the things that he would often say in his homilies is that you are God's gift to the world. You are God's gift to the world. God just didn't create you. God created you and brought you into existence in a way that was so unique and so special that when you were brought into the world, that you were a gift to the world. And you're not just a gift to the world, you're God's gift to his body here on earth, the body of Christ. You have a purpose. You are unique. And what does that mean? What it means is there are no cookie-cutter Christians in the world. God didn't just stamp out, you know, 10 people over here that are like this and then maybe another 15 like that or whatever. Each one of you is unique. The Bible says that God literally could count every hair on your head, that you were knit together in your mother's womb, that you were fearfully and wonderfully made and wonderfully unique. And thank goodness, right? Can you imagine how boring it would be if we were all alike? If we, all agreed with the preacher all the time? That might not be so bad, but still, how boring would it be if we were all alike? We differ from one another. We've been designed by God to complement one another, and that's complement with an E. We're designed by God to fit together and to work well together, to play on each other's gifts and strengths, with each member doing his or her part for the healthy functioning of the whole, the healthy functioning of the whole. Now, let's be honest. There are healthy bodies and there are unhealthy bodies, right? And a body is healthy when all the parts of it are functioning together correctly, right? And when the parts of a body are not functioning together properly, then the body itself becomes unhealthy. Herman Ostrey is a farmer in Nebraska, and he had a problem on his hands. You see, Farmer Ostrey's barn was under more than 2 feet of water because of flooding that was coming from a nearby creek. And so Farmer Ostrey has this problem. He's trying to figure out what to do, and he decides to invite some of his friends over for a barn raising. But this wasn't a barn raising like you read about in the history books where people get together and in a day they build a barn. This was a barn raising where people get together and they raise a barn literally. So his plan was to move the entire 17,000-pound barn to a new foundation exactly 143 feet away on some higher ground. So he gets with his son, who has some engineering skills and that kind of stuff, and so they devise a system of putting some steel tubing through the thing, and they bolt it into place, and they attach hundreds of handles to all of these steel tubes. And so one day, when the day finally came, 344 of Herman Ostrey's closest friends show up. And after one practice lift, the neighbors slowly walked the barn up a slight incline, each of them supporting less than 50 pounds. And in just 3 minutes, friends, 3 minutes, the barn was on its new foundation. I like that story because that story is a picture for us, a picture for you and me, of what the body of Christ can do when everybody participates, when everybody pulls their own weight, if you will. There's an old saying, what? Many hands make light work. When everybody's pulling in the same direction, everybody's lifting just their little piece, there's no telling what you can do. The Bible talks about having the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. That's true. Faith can move a mountain, but it also takes a little bit of elbow grease. It takes everybody working together in unison, all moving in the same direction. We've been designed by God to complement one another also. That's complement with an I. That is, God designed us and desires us to affirm and to encourage one another, to pat one another on the back, the Bible says, to build one another up in love, to appreciate one another and the contribution that one another makes, to appreciate one another and the contribution that one another makes. We are in our society, we can be so busy. We can be so caught up in our own deal, in our own lives, in our own families, in our own frustrations and that sort of thing. We fail to compliment people. We fail to say thank you for showing up early and unlocking the building, or thank you for taking out the trash, or thank you for cooking the meal, or whatever. Because it's not that we're not thankful people, it's just that we sometimes kind of have blinders on. We're so caught up in our own circumstances. But make no mistake, Paul's telling us here, we need to compliment one another. We need to build each other up by saying, thank you. Great job. What you're doing matters. We're not all the same, and that's by God's design. God has a place and a plan and a purpose for every single member of the body. And here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. A single mom being served by a couple that can watch her kids and let her run errands. It looks like a person who has the gift of hospitality hosting a small group of believers in his or her home. It looks like an encouraging person who has the gift of encouragement sending a card to somebody that needs to receive a card at just the right moment saying, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I see your pain. Looks like the parents who have older children saying to younger parents, you don't need to worry. It's just a phase. This too will pass. It's fine. You're doing a great job. Don't give up. When I was in high school, believe it or not, I was not a spectacular athlete. I know that looking at me, and if you know me, that you find this hard to believe, given my natural agility and things like this. But I was not a spectacular athlete. As a matter of fact, I mainly played the country club sports in high school. I played golf and tennis and stuff like that. But it did put me just enough in the athletic department in high school that I did occasionally get a shirt. And the shirt for our athletics at our high school said on it, there is no I in team. There is no I in team. If you have a collection of individuals rather than a team, it's hard to be successful. If you have a collection of individuals instead of a team, it is hard to be successful. You've all been a part of this before, right? Did anybody ever have a group project at some point in your lives where you had to work on a group project, right? And instead of functioning as a team, you had a group of individuals, and the group of individuals couldn't work together, and they didn't accomplish anything, and you're, you know, 2 hours before the deadline trying to get the stupid project done to get it in because you didn't function as a team. There is no I in team. And so it's hard to be successful if you're not a team, but it's also hard to have any fun if you're not a team, because, you know, you could go out and you could play a game or whatever. Maybe you could be the best basketball player in the whole wide world, but nobody wants to be on a team where there's just one star who does everything, who scores every point, who gets all the glory, because that's no fun. Victory tastes so much sweeter when you accomplish something as a team, not as an individual. Lastly today, we're all called to care for one another in the body. In verses 25 and 26, Paul says, there is to be no division, no dissension in the body, but every part should have respect and concern for the other. Every part of the body should care for one another. Have you ever had a toothache? There's probably nothing, in my opinion, more debilitating in the entire world than a toothache. Even though teeth are really kind of relatively small parts of our body relative to everything else, they're really small. But let me just tell you, you want to get stopped in your tracks? You want to have your entire day derailed? You want to just be in a perfect recipe for a bad mood? Get a toothache. It'll cause you to notice, won't it? When one part of the body is hurting or in pain, the whole body feels it. When one part of the body is hurting or in pain, the whole body feels it. Bible says, Paul says in Romans, we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to mourn with those who mourn. How do we do it? How do we do it? Well, we do it by sharing with one another. We share our hopes. We share our disappointments. We share our victories. We share our struggles. Friends, that's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're more important than anybody else. It doesn't mean that you're less important than anybody else. What it means is to be connected. And here's the message. When you're really connected to people, when you're really connected, you're going to feel pain from them. But you're also going to celebrate tremendous victories with them. That's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the church in the world. And we thank God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.